feet. I would like to share with you a modern parable. It's called Parable of the Gambling Man. A man was walking along on a journey, and he was carrying too many things. And he came upon an old gambling man. The gambling man gave him this advice. And if you know the advice, feel free to sing along. He said, "You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away. Know when to run. You never count your money. While you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done." Wow. Well done. Yes, that is a modern parable from the great theologian Kenny Rogers. Silly, perhaps, but exactly what Jesus is teaching today in the story we encounter in the Gospel of Mark. This is another masterclass in how to be a disciple of Jesus in our comings and goings in the world that we walk through today, which is not all that much different than the world Jesus walked through so many years ago. This is Mark. Remember that, because that's important for the story that we have today. In the gospel, Jesus goes to his hometown and he begins to teach in the synagogue. What did he teach? We don't know. Mark doesn't tell us. All he says is that he was teaching and that was it. So for Mark, if he doesn't go into detail about something, it's not important. What Jesus was teaching is not as important as how Jesus responds after he sends these teachings out into the world. What we know is the response of the people from his teachings. And their response was, well, they didn't like it very much. And they put up resistance to Jesus. They put up obstacles in his way. Because it's not so much what Jesus was teaching, but Jesus himself that was the problem. They resist Jesus three times in this story. The first time they resist him, they put up a bunch of non-negotiables in the form of a rapid succession of rhetorical questions. They ask, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom? What deeds of power is he doing? Each of these questions are really good questions. Each one of them could be a sermon in and of itself, but they don't leave space to hear an answer. They don't want an answer. So they keep rapid-firing these questions before anybody has a chance to say, well, this is the power that he has, and this is where he learned. They don't want to know. So they put up the first resistance of a bunch of rhetorical non-negotiables. And then the second resistance. They call him a carpenter, which may be true. This is his hometown, and perhaps in he made a living as a carpenter. All well and good, but now he's back. And he's a carpenter. That's all they want him to be. You were a carpenter then, you're a carpenter now. Doesn't matter what's happened in the interim. This is all you can ever be. For them, a carpenter is a carpenter is a carpenter. They can never become something more. They can never be transformed into something better than just the one thing that they started out as. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been pigeonholed? You're just the one thing. It's the one thing that you do. You can only ever be a priest. Can't be anything else. You can only ever be a doctor. Never be anything else. You can only ever be a musician. What more can you do? But there is so much more to each and every one of you than just what you do. You are all still becoming something beautiful, becoming more and more every day the image of God in the world. You're still becoming. You are more than just what you do. But this is not the case for the community that Jesus comes back to speak with. For them, he's a carpenter, and that's all he can ever be. And so it has repercussions on them. If he's a carpenter and can never change, then we can't change either. The community denies their own ability to be transformed and their own ability to grow and be and become as God has called each of them to be. And so they give up hope for the possibility of transformation for Jesus, for themselves, and they're inviting us to give up hope in ourselves too, that we could ever be anything more than what we used to be. And then, if that wasn't enough of a resistance to Jesus, then they get personal. They say, "Isn't this Mary's son?" This is a patriarchal community. Mary's son, not Joseph's son. In other words, the bastard child of Mary has no father, has no lineage, has no voice in this community. That's harsh. That's harsh to be called a name without so much as calling the name. They're doing everything they can think of to silence Jesus and whatever it is that he's trying to teach and to deny the fact that Jesus could become something more, and so can they. Now, here's the lesson. Here's where we get the modern parable of the gambler and Jesus' teachings for us. What does Jesus do when he is confronted with so much resistance to what he has to say, to the good news that he's sharing with the world? Well, it says he could do no deed of power there. He laid hands on a few people and cured some sick people, but he was amazed at their unbelief. Jesus' power, God, or working in us and with us and through us, is relational. God's power has effect and transformative power because of the relationship that we are in with God through Christ. My friends, we have a great deal of power in the human-divine relationship. And that power is, we get to say no. We get to say no to Jesus. We get to say no to the invitation to love one another and to love ourselves. That's a whole other sermon. We often refuse to love ourselves. But we get to say no. And that's what the community was doing to Jesus by putting up this resistance, was saying, no, we don't want to hear the good news. No, we don't want to be transformed into something else. We're good just the way we are. And we don't want to know that we can be better, even though they can. Even though we can be transformed and continue to become more and more beautiful and more the face of Christ in the world. So they put up these resistances, and Jesus says, well, I mean, all I can do is what I can do. And so he knocks the dust off of his sandals and he goes. And that's heartbreaking, that people would be so afraid of becoming, so afraid of knowing that they can be beautiful like Christ is beautiful and meaningful in their community in more ways than they can ask or imagine. And so Jesus says, all I can do is what I can do. And here's the teaching. Jesus teaches us by example that he can do what he can do with what he can, with what he has in the place where he is. And he does so. And he teaches his disciples to do the same thing. He says, go out into the world. Don't carry a whole bunch of stuff. Don't try to distort yourself to become somebody's old carpenter. Continue to be and grow and become. Do what you can do. Don't bring an extra staff or a bag and bread. Don't worry about all that stuff. Just be you with what you have. God has given each and every one of us a whole kit full of gifts and skills and abilities, and that's all we need. Because that's what transforms us more and more like God, who has given us all of these gifts to share. And so share your gifts. Do everything you can with what you have, with where you are, and allow yourself to be transformed by the love that has put those gifts in you in the first place. Jesus doesn't distort himself to fit their very specific, very inflexible understanding. He's a carpenter, and that's all he can ever be. No, Jesus knows he's more than that. God knows we are more than who we are on the surface and encourages us to continue to grow and do, to release those gifts as unique and beautiful as each and every one is. Release your gift into the world. Don't worry about whether it's received or not. That's not your job. Your job is simply to put those gifts of you out there into the world. He tells as much to his disciples as well. The other learning for us and wisdom for us in this gospel is that not everybody is going to want what we have. Not everybody wanted what Jesus had. Not everybody is going to want what you have or what I have. That's not the point. The point is just to get out there and do it. Be who you are as your truest, truthful self. Be who you are as all the different facets of your personality and your gifts and your skills and your attributes. That's what the world needs. And then let God do the rest. The people will receive what they will receive, and if they don't, move on. And really, moving on is important because there are other people with other gifts that they're trying to give as well, and we can make space for them. Make space for them to give the gifts that they have, that that particular community of people is looking for, that will respond to. The good news is that there's room for you, for what you bring, and there's room for others and what they bring as well. And when we all come together, something truly remarkable happens. We are all transformed because the core of all of those gifts is the love of God, and that is what we're here to share. So love generously. Just let all that love do what it's going to do. Be you, big in the world, and let God take care of the rest. God will allow those gifts to settle down where they are most needed and transform people in the way that they need to be transformed. And in the giving of your gifts, you become more and more of who God has called you to be. And that's the good news.